The expansion draft's in the books. What's your read on Ron Francis's plan of attack in forming his team from this point forward?
It's this. They're going to be a team that's going to have more than $28 million in cap space, and it goes back to a theme that we've been hearing for quite a long time, which is how will the Kraken weaponize their cap space? And so when you look at what could happen once the roster freeze has been lifted, what they could do with the NHL draft, what they could do in free agency, and what they could do through other means of grabbing players, whether it's waivers, trades, whatever the case might be, that was something Ron Francis discussed yesterday, which is they feel they have a lot of options. And so, yes, the initial reaction for people is, you know, how do you go from this sort of star-studded possibilities to, like, what you have now where you might have some notable players? But even when you do a depth chart, you could see they really don't have three centers. Like, the fourth-line center role, it's a question mark. And you have players on this roster that some of them have less than 20 games of NHL experience. But again, it comes with the understanding that when you look at how things are with this team, they're ninth in defense spending, which, yes, we just made the Seattle Kraken sound like they are a member of the United Nations talking about what they spend on defense every year. You look at goaltending, because of the Driedger contract and because of the Vanecek contract, they're near the bottom. But again, you have two goaltenders that were successful and consistent last year, but you're not paying an extremely high price. But when you look at how much you're spending with forwards, it seems like that's where they're going to invest a lot of that $28 million.
And the question is, are they going to invest it right away? Is it going to be in the free agent market? Is it going to be via trade as well? And to your point, this all comes down to opportunity cost. This is an organization that has been built with an analytical background, and obviously as an organization, they did not see the opportunity cost of selecting more high-profile players to outweigh cap space. The question is, how do you believe Francis uses the cap space in the next couple of months?
The key word would be judiciously. I mean, it's something that he's talked about before, that he spends cap space as if it was his own money as opposed to ownership. And he got into this a little bit yesterday by saying, you know, there were proposals that were thrown out there where teams wanted them to take on someone with a high dollar amount. But for them, it was just a move that didn't make sense, because if they're going to take on something with a high dollar amount, there had to be a justification behind it. Whereas if you look at the things that they've been able to do through the expansion draft, like, it does give them that freedom and that flexibility to really go do whatever they want. And it goes back to something an agent said in a story we had in The Athletic not that long ago, where we spoke with five agents about how could the Kraken look in free agency. And one of them said, it's simple. They're a unicorn because they're going to be able to do things with cap space that no one else can do.
Ryan, how much did the Vegas expansion draft, do you think, shape what happened in this one, either with, you know, GMs not willing to pay this big price this time around, either to take money off the books or keep players that they wanted to keep?
Francis talked about that a little bit last night as well, and his point was simple in that GMs learned that, hey, just go ahead and take who you're going to take and be done with it. But also that it comes with the idea that everybody's trying to maneuver around the flat cap, which, like, that's the thing that's always going to come up whenever there's the conversation about the Seattle draft experience versus the Vegas draft experience. It is that flat cap and the fact that teams are trying to find ways to move money. So, yes, there's that idea that this is what GMs learned last time, where it's like, okay, you can try to sit here and overthink these things, but when you look at the asking price, which is what the case was with some players, let's say like a Mark Giordano with the Calgary Flames. You know, for them, they felt like, hey, look, for someone who has 1 year left on his deal, who's at 36, 37 years old, is this almost too much to consider giving up for what might be one more year of a player, maybe two or three? You don't know how long he wants to continue playing. And so that was just it. Not only that, but again, if you're the Flames, for example, as difficult as it is to lose Mark Giordano, you are getting more than $6.5 million in cap space.
Yeah, and for Calgary, that's, I believe, Mark Giordano is the biggest cap hit that the Seattle Kraken did take yesterday in that player. Do you see him on this team going forward, or do you see him as an asset for Ron Francis to flip?
It's interesting because you hear some of the things going around, but then you kind of have to wonder about yesterday in the sense of, mm-hmm, would it make sense for them to bring him on stage, put him in a sweater, have him do the media rounds, only to then turn around and say, hey, look, let's move on from him. It's not to say those things can't happen, but it would just seem really strange and bizarre given how yesterday there was a literal production around this, and the Kraken even signed off last night with a tweet, you know, of their six players in arms wearing their jerseys, and Giordano was part of that group. So it doesn't, you don't even want to say it doesn't appear that would be the case. It's just, let's just leave it as, it would be interesting just after everything yesterday where he's part of this production, they were to move on from him, or he were to move on from them.
Ryan Clark of The Athletic covers the Seattle Kraken. He joins us today on Rintoul and Sermon. What we do know is Tyler Pitlick's on the move, likely to Calgary. We'll find out for exactly what in approximately 20 minutes' time. Of the players that remain on this roster, and let's exclude the six that were there for the reason you just laid out, who do you believe is the most attractive asset to another team, the most coveted player that was taken yesterday that Ron Francis would consider moving?
It could be one of the defensemen, because when you look at the breakdown, their top four appears as if it's going to be Vince Dunn, Jamie Oleksiak, Mark Giordano, and this is
Adam Larson.
When you go to bed at 5:30, Adam Larson. Thank you. Again, kids. Don't say it until 5:30 in the morning. your people bring you on radio, and you sound like, which way did he go, George? But anyway, you look at that combination of players, and it looks like that's going to be your top four. So when you look at everything else, it's like, okay, you look at, let's say, who would that third pair be? There is a case to be made for Carson Soucy. There's a case to be made for Hayden Fleury. There is a case to be made as well for Dennis Cholowski is another name that comes to mind. Jeremy Lazan's another name that comes to mind. Where does Curtis McDermott fit into this? And so when you see that they have these defensemen, it looks like maybe that's where one of the moves could come. And as for who it could be, it's hard to say, just because, I mean, when you look at, let's just say, the third pairing defenseman conversation alone between what you have with, let's say, Soucy, Fleury, and Lazan, this is where it gets fascinating, because if you're looking at how do you build a PK, those are three options that you can run in addition to Giordano and everybody else that you've got up there. But then it's a matter of, well, who's the most expendable of those PK options, but also which of them had the most five-on-five ice time. So it's just going to be an interesting decision, but either way, there's going to be value fixated to one of them, assuming those are one of the players to crack and move on from.
Pretty clear they need help at center, and we knew that was going to be a precious commodity. They chose not to take a couple of exposed centers, the likes of Chris Tierney, so they'll have to address that need somehow, some way. What about in goal? You gave the case for the likes of Driedger and Vanacek, who've had some success, albeit a limited resume in their opportunities in the National Hockey League. Do you believe the Kraken are comfortable in goal moving forward, or do you think they will address that position as well?
It's going to be hard to say, because your point about a limited snapshot, it was interesting kind of going through the notes for the story last night. And pardon me if this number is incorrect, but I believe Chris Driedger has 38 career games. Vitek Vanacek has 37, or if it's one of them is 37 and the other one's 36. The point is, Chris Driedger has won 21 career games over five seasons in the NHL. Again, that five seasons, some of it has been more than 10 games, some of it has only been a one-game snapshot. Vanacek won that many last year as a rookie. So there's definitely going to be some intrigue to see how this works from two players that had strong seasons last year, but how do you build from that? Now, that said, I mean, perhaps there is a possibility they could do something, but then it raises the question of, so what would be the odd goaltender out? I mean, Chris Driedger at 3-5, clearly they see a future for him. But when you look at Vanacek and the fact that he's costing you less than $800,000 a year, we just talked about how this is a team that cares a lot about financial flexibility. And when you look at someone with his price for what he could bring, it seems like that would be a hard thing for them to move on from.
Scott had mentioned the center position there, and Yanni Gourde apparently is going to undergo surgery. He's likely back around November-ish. You've got Jared McCann there as well. But do you think Ron Francis is very much looking at Buffalo and Jack Eichel?
It's an interesting conversation, but then it comes back to, if you were to do that, what would you give up? And maybe that's the number two pick that you're looking at moving on from. And Francis has said before that maybe they're able to take someone at number two who could possibly come in next year and play. But then it's also, again, the question of how much of your cap do you want absorbed into one player. And so Seattle is going to presumably have the assets to make something like that work if that's something that they were interested in doing. But again, if you're them and you've talked about trying to win now and in the future, you have to ask, how much do you want a $10.5 million cap hit on your books? Now, granted, Jack Eichel is definitely a different $10.5 million cap hit because everybody knows what he's capable of achieving. But again, when finances have been so paramount to the Kraken, those are the questions that they're asking.
Assuming Owen Power goes number one, as most people predict tomorrow, and assuming Seattle does not move the number two pick, is the obvious selection here Matt Beniers because of the center depth? Not that he needs to play right away. Many have him going there anyway, but because of what happened yesterday and because of how you're trying to build a team, is he the obvious selection to you?
Well, he's definitely on a list of six or seven names from the sounds of it, and as far as if he's the obvious choice, I mean, it's hard to say at this point just because, I mean, teams are always secretive around the draft. But as everybody knows, Ron Francis and the Kraken take secrecy to a whole new level. So it's hard to say for sure. But when you look at the way their roster's projected, if they think Matthew Beniers is someone that can play next year, even though it looks like he's going back to the University of Michigan, whether they feel he can play next year or the year after, it allows you to get a two-way center. And as we all know in this league, you can get a two-way top six center. You go do it if that's possible.
There's a couple of them up there, William Eklund being the other. And in this strange year where some guys played a bunch, some guys didn't, it'll be interesting to see what Seattle values, assuming that's the pick tomorrow. Was there a part of the production last night or what happened yesterday that stood out to you down in Seattle?
To be honest with you, I mean, we really didn't get a chance to see too much of it just because we were talking to players, Commissioner Gary Bettman, Ron Francis, Dave Haxtell, when a lot of the show was sort of going on. So in terms of the production itself, couldn't really be able to say, but in terms of the atmosphere, the thing that probably stood out was just seeing how Gasworks Park was just filled, how there were boats and canoes and kayakers on Lake Union. At one point, there was a kayaker that rolled up to Jordan Eberle and started having a conversation with him. There was a kayaker that when Gary Bettman was walking between different media stations, like, he booed Gary Bettman. Then there were other kayakers who were, like, chanting his name. So it's one of those things that it was uniquely Seattle because it's one of those, like, how many other cities could you have that? I mean, Vancouver could be one depending on where they would hold an expansion draft if you held an expansion draft in Vancouver right now. But, yeah, it's just really Seattle to see people show up in a kayak and start talking to the commissioner while there is a boat out in Lake Union with an inflatable squid, an inflatable purple squid. It's that just chilling out on top of the boat.
Yeah, the people who were there looked like they were having fun. Maybe save for Sean Kemp, who could use a bigger T-shirt, but I digress. Hey, Ryan, thank you very much for doing this, man. I know your time is limited. Go get some sleep. You were perfect on the 38 and 37 games with the goaltenders. Thank you very much for your time. We'll do it again soon.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.